from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com. A lot of persistent mental health challenges. People would call them crisis. At times, people do fall in a mental health crisis, but there's a lot of focus now on it, too. And I think people are adopting new methods as well. Of course, our problems, our challenges amplified by our rural geography. There's a workforce shortage as well. And then high veteran population, not to mention, oh my gosh, our youth as well. But there's been some things being set right about that. A major national development, top focus of our discussion today, is shift in the Veterans Administration mental health funding structure through certain legislation. Matt Koontz will join us today from NAMI, Montana, to talk about all of these changes and more here on Voices of Montana. Yeah, there's some good news really in this, and there's a lot of tough news that we've ignored too long. And what I like about it is we're not swallowing it anymore. We are looking at the causes for such a high suicide rate in the state of Montana. Our veterans, of course, we have a high veteran population. Our youth as well. And it is a focus. I think that we all need to share in our communities. And there'll be a talk today about a way that you can make a difference for your community. Support group leaders. Matt Koontz is joining us here now from NAMI, Montana, executive director, one of the leading advocates for mental health, veteran mental health, but mental health in general across the state of Montana, and a guy who's been working on this for a number of years. We have some legislative, I would call, victories to talk about as well, especially when it comes to veteran health. Good morning, Matt. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Tom. Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate the time here today. I'll start off with what I found was real interesting, and there is more research going into these kinds of injuries, especially for our veterans as well, that have been kind of invisible, and what they call repetitive low-level blast exposure. That's starting to kind of come out. Have you, how's that process been? Have you seen that? That's new for me. Tell me about that.
That's been really, really interesting to watch over the last couple of years. You know, I guess NAMI Montana has really been deeply involved in this since, you know, I came in June of 2008. And it really wasn't on many people's radar at that time. We did do a bill and, in September of 2020 that focused on precision brain health. And a lot of the research that came out around that did end up being on identifying some of these low-level blast injuries. And it was stuff that was in the papers at the time and a bunch of different things. It's like they saw that a lot of people that were exposed to blasts consistently during training and during their work in the military were having really, really high levels of mental health conditions. Hmm. And, you know, higher than their trauma rates would suggest or than just the average person's mental health. So they dug into that. A lot of the research that's come out is they're calling it now low-level blast injuries. And basically someone's been repeatedly exposed to blasts typically through their time in service. Mm-hmm. Ends up developing these smaller injuries of the brain, and that's something that we really want to try to get a handle on and try to kind of tweak our veterans' brain health research system to be able to better address those.
Is this, and I know there's a lot of research probably still to be done on this, but how do they define it? Is it a decimal range? Is it a blast wave impact? What kind of cognitive problems are we seeing from it?
It's really interesting in terms of like the scientific ways of looking at it. And, you know, used to just think that if a service member was protected from the pressure of a blast, that they were safe. And now they're looking at things like acoustical energy or other types of energy that, you know, is still hitting the service member over and over again. We've designed our weapon systems to protect from the pressure, but there's still other kinds of energies that appear to be hitting those brains, and we just need to get a handle on it. It's not like war is going away. It's not like anything's going away. We just have to figure out what's going on with these injuries, and it's pretty early days in terms of the science. With the legislation that we've done, that is part of what we're trying to flesh out. What is working for these? And part of that is, like, what's working inside the VA already? You know, we know that certain professions are more likely to have had repetitive blast injuries based upon their service records. You know, what programs are already doing better? And using kind of a VA's vast data pool to be able to see, hey, are there some real nuggets of treatment goodness that are already out there that it wouldn't cost a ton of money, it wouldn't take a big change in the workforce to do, and just try to put those to work first was one of the things that we were looking at. You know, kind of the idea that, okay, we use the big data partly to identify this problem, and can we use big data to help improve the problem as well?
Matt Kuntz with us here, Executive Director of NAMI Montana, the local organization, NAMIMT.org. So much information on that website. I encourage that. The national organization, likewise, NAMI.org as well. We're focusing on some veteran mental health, but we'll get into rural access, some youth programs as well. We're going to look back at probably a few years of legislative successes here. Staying with this one, it's kind of considered it's the blast wave, it's part of it, but it's kind of considered more of a national development too, that the Veterans Administration is shifting this mental health funding structure, and that was more volume over innovation. So it sounds like this is a very, very encouraging step in a lot of ways. Talk about the process to get from, you know, thinking about, oh, it's numbers versus it's not quantity, it's quality.
This is something that we worked years on, and did help draft this bill. And part of it was just that we laid out what we thought the biggest wins were, you know, since 2008 that we've had at the federal level. And this one came through in January of this year. And it was led by Senator Jerry Moran's office. And what we were going after in that bill is, in the late 90s, the VA adjusted how it dispersed its funds based upon, like, a fee-for-service model, which was really big in the healthcare industry at the time. So they were trying to copy what the private sector was doing. Private sector is since moving away from that, because what they realized is it was just incentivizing a lot of care, not necessarily the right kinds of care, or things that might be kind of adjacent to care, you know, like housing or transportation, that may actually be what the veteran needs most. So that was what we worked on. And it's a multi-year plan. Stakeholders from around the country and the private sector within the VA and other parts of the government, like the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and just trying to see, you know, how do we disperse the VA's resources in a way that actually serves the veteran and kind of unleashes the creativity of the local VA clinical administrators and clinicians to deliver the right care for their population.
I mean, that goes along, and that's encouraging to hear that too, because a lot of times we've been stuck in a box, especially when it comes to large national organizations that, you know, they have a big mandate. And sometimes that, you know, they believe that one size fits all. And I think that's been proven only partially effective. And so I'm glad to see a focus now. It's more that whole wellness that the entire healthcare community is looking at, preventative medicine, so to speak. Matt Kuntz, again, Executive Director of NAMI Montana. We'll take a quick call, and our phone lines are open at 866-627-5483. As we'll go, haven't heard from Skip in a while. Skip, good to hear from you. I got a question for Matt Kuntz from NAMI.
And thank you, Tom, and I do hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving and reflect on its meaning. I wanted to bring up, sir, and by the way, I appreciated a couple things you were just saying, which makes me think about a committee that I've been watching occasionally on a channel that I get. There's an interim committee right now on Veterans Affairs that happens in Helena, and it's just like all the committees, they try to fish through things that are going to be good possible legislation in the next session, which is a ways away, but they can put things together and weed through them and recommend things for to come to the floor in the House of Representatives and the Senate. And I wanted to find out if you keep your eye on that. I think they kind of been wading through the mud. I watched them pretty closely last week, and I think that they get a lot of time spent on administrative things, and instead of getting right down to the specific problems, and I believe they should concentrate a little more on veterans in particular. I think veterans who have already served our country that have those kinds of issues should have probably get a little more priority of attention. That's my opinion, but I appreciate what you're doing. But I don't know if you know about, or maybe you already participate in public opinion of going right to that committee at the State House. I'd like to see it be a little more dynamic so that it accomplishes its purpose better. And I thought I'd touch on that with you, and Tom would probably appreciate it because he hangs around the State House, especially during the session, and he knows how effective committees can be to decide what goes to the floor or not. And so I just thought I'd bring that up. And I'll just leave it at that. Maybe you know about that committee, maybe not. And I hope you can get something out of them that helps our veterans. And thank you for your service.
Thanks, Skip. I appreciate that. And I'm going to have you maybe talk about also, you know, in addressing Skip's question, the whole state or feds versus private care and support services as well, because that's another encouraging aspect of veterans care, is that there are more private services that are becoming more and more effective and maybe even sometimes, you know, surpassing what state or the feds can do because of limited resources or applications.
Yeah. That's a great combination of questions. Thanks so much for calling in, Skip, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well. You know, we have to be really strategic in where we apply NAMI Montana's limited resources, where we do it for veterans, and a big part of this is funded by the Trans Montana Charity Ride. We will focus on the federal Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. That's where we move a ton of stuff in the VA. So we focus our veteran committee work on the federal Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. And then when it comes to the actual kind of health care of veterans in Montana, we end up focusing a little bit more on the Children and Family Services Division, because while they don't alter VA funding, a lot of the funding that veterans get is covered by the Montana DPHHS. So that's the committee that we focus on, issues with like their veterans being served in the community that way, their veterans being served
at the state hospital. Lots of different ways that we can affect veterans care there.
Gotcha.
If we can get crisis service done at the local level, the VA will send the veterans there.
Great source point, actually. Matt Koontz, I've got a few more questions here, too, that will follow along with this. But a few things to talk about, too, is that you guys are looking at encouraging support group leaders for our veterans. So we'll hit that. And there is a pretty fun fundraising project that involves snowmobiles, kind of right up your alley, across the state of Montana. We'll talk about that, too. More to come here. It's From Montana for Montana. Matt Koontz with NAMI Montana today on Voices of Montana. With a switch in the administration, the Veterans Administration, mental health funding is moving away a little bit from volume, quantity, and moving to innovation and then some research. So it's been dedicated to this. But look, they're estimating maybe over 700,000 veterans nationally could be impacted by this. Also, the VA data shows over 20% of post-9/11 combat veterans have reported some kind of exposure to blast waves. A lot of things to sort through and move the ball forward on for mental health and our veterans. And we'll also talk about a youth program and how you can get involved too in your local community, because there's the community. And Matt Koontz with us here, Executive Director of NAMI Montana. Matt, I think you've got to be encouraged as well. You noted, 15 plus years with NAMI Montana. There is, I think, a great move toward that wholeness and mental health. Maybe go into that a little bit. The community has really stepped up, I think. Well, I don't know. There's probably ways where they could do more. But I think community mental health has become a strong point for us here, or at least it can get stronger.
No, I think it's a great point, Tom. For me, what I see biggest is the realization, that this is just a critical issue that we need to address, and always has been. Montana had a Montana State Hospital before we were a state. Our nation had a hospital in Philadelphia before we had a constitution. So, it's just a big, long time thing, and we're coming back to the realization that we just got to stay on it. We got to take care of each other and work together on this. I think for those of us in the field, the treatments and the care are never as far as we want them to be. Mm-hmm. But I think this legislature was really clear that both sides knew this needed to be worked on. And when you go to D.C., both sides know that this needs to be worked on.
Good.
There's some debate about the House, but the fact that this is a critical issue for our communities, our state, our country, isn't up for debate anymore.
That's good. And it's also, though, telling that if many of us are struggling, we should examine some of those inputs to that. Support group. Talk about that. Talk about, as we're looking at community here, you can make a difference in your community. You guys talk about you're not alone. Well, you're not alone when you're in community. And you're looking for support group leaders. Tell me, the kind of person who is going to fit.
We have support groups in a number of communities around Montana. Mm-hmm. And they are for people who live with mental health conditions or family members of people who live with mental health conditions. And they're both groups do need support, but they need support on different issues and in different ways. So that's where we end up, break those two groups up, and we deliver them around the state every month. And what we're hoping to get is more support group leaders. We really want to add five more communities this year. And what it takes is two people in a community that, are either live with mental health conditions or family members of people who live with mental health conditions. And they want to get trained. And there is a small stipend for each support group. But it's a really amazing way that people can make a difference in their community, and just reach out to NAMI Montana at 406-443-7871. Help us get five more
communities in 2026.
That's good. Just set goals, right, and kind of move the ball forward. Again, what kind of people? What kind of commitment is this? What kind of people make a good fit?
It's really pretty easy commitment. You're just talking about a couple hours a month. I think it's a great fit for people that are retired, people that are looking for a little bit more grocery money to get through. But it's fascinating. I mean, we have one in Helena that's taught by a dentist and a banker, and or led by a dentist and a banker, and they do amazing work. You know, I just think it's really people from across the spectrum, and that's one of the things that I love about NAMI is it doesn't matter where you came from or what your experiences are, you can sure make a difference in helping others. And while you're doing that, I can personally say that where it sure helps you as well.
Matt Koontz is with us again with NAMI Montana, West Point graduate. Thank you for your service as well. It is Veterans Month, and we're focusing on veterans, and we'll switch a little bit to youth of Montana as well. Back with more here of Voices of Montana in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Montana's not unusual, unique in some ways. We have a large veteran population, but not unusual in the challenges that many of us, when we talk about mental health, look at. There is a workforce shortage in a lot of areas. There's the stigma that you still have to battle against. You have limited sometimes capacity. So access is a huge thing in that regard. In NAMI Montana, Matt Koontz is with us here, executive director. Been focusing on just moving the ball forward in whatever, little ways, sometimes big ways, but all those ways that count. And I think it's making a difference, Matt. You know, I look at the numbers and they're still a gut punch. And there's still work to be done in that regard. But thank you for your work. It's much appreciated because we get people on board. Education, I think, is a huge part of mental health. And this is why I wanted to move to this classroom-based program, YAM, but it's Youth Aware of Mental Health. You know, get into that and talk, because I know you're engaged there as well. I know you have a heart not only for veterans, but for everybody that's suffering from mental health in the community, but kids too.
Yeah, it's a huge part of what we do. And, you know, that's the Trans Montana Charity Ride splits their dollars up into veterans and youth. Mm-hmm. So we're able to focus a little bit heavier on those two communities. And one of the ways that we've been able to do that is the Youth Aware of Mental Health program that we do in partnership with Montana State University. And it's a, you know, international program that there's about 5 hours worth of education and role plays. So it's just a lot of really great learning, teaching the kids about decision making too. What do you do if you're around somebody that's using alcohol and they want to drive? Or, you know, what do you do if you have a friend that goes into a mental health crisis? It teaches them how to call 988. Just makes a lot of these really tricky things more approachable, so they're not learning about mental health conditions at the worst time in the worst way. So it's a really great structured program. We're also bringing in the Teen Mental Health First Aid program in partnership with Montana State. That one's for a little bit older kids. YAM's for 8th grade and freshmen, and Teen Mental Health First Aid is for junior year of high school. So we've got those two programs, and then one other one that we're developing on our own with Peter Tolton from Billings and from the Blank Foundation is a mental health for health class. And we're excited about that. It's an idea to have really world-class education available to health class teachers on mental health. You know, make it really easy for our teachers to be able to access, you know, what Stanford is thinking about right now on these conditions, what Emory is, you know, really cool neuroscience and just the basics of how you care for yourself. So we've got a three-pronged approach with youth and try to make it as easy as possible for schools, as many options as possible for communities, and based upon what they think is the right fit for their schools.
Curious question. Maybe it's you know, just your every average day Joe Public question too about social media and kids and mental health. And I've read too many, and just one recently about a young student because of unwarranted and even, you know, inaccurate social media. I don't even know if it was persecution. It was certainly inappropriate at a vulnerable time. I mean, we talk about hormones as well, and but that whole learning process, what are they saying about it? What are kids saying about it? What do mental health advocates say about how to understand or use social media responsibly?
You know, I think it's a really important part of what our conversation is. And every time we have kind of a technological change as humans, whether it's radio or books or whatever, we have to figure out how to use it appropriately. And, you know, our kids are front and center, and parents have to be really deeply involved with that. And it could be as simple as messing up their sleep. It's a huge thing that can really wreak havoc on somebody's mental health is if that social media is messing up their sleep, if they're getting addicted to it. You know, it also opens up a clear path for bullies to come into our homes and mess with our kids. And I think that it's a really important thing for the parents and the kids to work on. And we're just at the beginning of it, but there's also a lot of good. There's a lot of great ways that people can get support via social media and get to learn about these things via social media. But this is a tool that we have to figure out how to use. It's a powerful tool, potentially dangerous tool. Every family definitely needs to lean in and do their best to care for those kids in this new age.
And I think mental health advocates and professionals have said that kids want those guidelines. I know that they need those guidelines. And maybe nowadays kids are understanding, too, that they do want guidelines. I know that you have been a part of a really great night of performance with Jason Deshaw and friends and have supported that. He has gone out into the high schools and had a really good success, actually, with his message, too. So it's encouraging, right, that the kids are understanding that. Are they understanding that they need the guidance, or is that still that teenage individuality?
I think it all depends on the kid, you know, and the kid and parents. And, you know, every kid's going to have something that they disagree with on their parents. And I think social media fits right into that category. And that's just as in the same way that our parents used to tell us to turn the TV off. It's the same thing, you know, time to put the phone down, time to turn that thing off for the night. And if you're stuck on some app and if it's not healthy, it's time for that app to go away.
Yeah. And it's hard for people to adopt discipline in that regard, but I think it's vital too. Matt Koontz again, NAMI Montana. It is NAMI, the National Association of Mental Illness. Is that what it was? I've come to know it as NAMI, you know?
Well, that's how we love for people to know it.
Yeah. And so NAMI.org, the national organization, and NAMI MT.org as well. Let's talk about this one because, you know, I think this sounds like a ton of fun, but I think you have to, be prepared for this. This sort of has to be your sport, but it has been an important part, as you noted. You call it, you know, the Trans Montana Ride, and it is TMR, but it's the Trans Montana Charity Snowmobile Ride. They've got their own website, trans-montana.org. But talk about this. I mean, we have talked about it in the past, but let's get it out there again. When does it start? It's a snowmobile ride through Big Sky Country. I mean, it's, as far as fundraisers go, Matt, this looks like you're right on target.
It's so cool. We've been working with Trans Montana Ride for about a decade, and they're just amazing. It's a bunch of people from around Montana and around the country that meet up and really do some great rides. all the way from West Yellowstone to up by Cedar Lake and the Bitter by Hamilton. It's a really amazing experience. They do have a dinner in Helena this year, but the ride always changes. And I'll tell you what, the people that put it on are just absolutely amazing. Mark Smolin, Cliff and Tommy Walter, all those folks are just truly top notch.
Yeah, and we talked with them, I think, last year, maybe it was the year before as well. You think of snowmobilers, number one, it's not your everyday sport as well. And you're going to have to be kind of a bit hardy if you're going to be a snowmobiler a little bit. So that attracts a group that I bet you're encouraged that they want to support you.
They're hardy and they're fun. I'll tell you what, they care so much about Montana's kids and Montana's veterans. It's been really a perfect group for us to partner with because we did need more financial support to be able to do kind of more specific efforts about kids and veterans like we talked to. And Trans Montana has allowed us to do that. So it's been an amazing partnership, and we're really excited to see them again this year.
And if people want to support this too, they don't have to go on the ride, right? Or that might be a fun thing to do, but you gotta be in the right mood for that. There's also a big banquet, and I think I noted, if this is correct here, Saturday, February 7th, that'll be in Helena. So the event's going to be, I believe, late in January. How do people, if they want to learn more about this event or get behind this one?
Yeah, go to the Trans Montana webpage is, I think, the best one. And it's trans-montana.org. And you can also just make a donation online or mail a donation in to their address in Black Eagle, Montana as well.
So there's no I can bid $1 for every time a snowmobile bucks a rider?
You know, I think you could talk to them about it. Their wrap-ups at the end of each day, and they give awards for who has the biggest crashes, who had the most crashes. It is a hilarious, amazing group.
That's what we should do. Maybe something like that. $1 for every bucked rider through that entire trip. But it
could get really expensive.
You think so? Okay, yeah. Okay, well, up to a million. How about that? Matt, thank you. Thank you for your time, too, and blessings on you and your family, and thank you for your service. I don't know how to thank you enough because, these are inglorious jobs at times, and it's very public service-oriented and veteran service-oriented, and at times you feel like there's more losses than wins, but you're out there winning for them. So thank you, Matt.
Thank you so much, Tom, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast, and join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana, a live issue-oriented talk show heard daily on local stations all across Montana.